Here's a thought I'll title, ISO Fears No More. I remember all the way back when I was first starting in photography, one of the characteristics of the standard photograph that I did not like, for reasons that are probably irrational or long ago forgotten, but nonetheless, I've never liked the appearance of grain in one of my gelatin silver prints. I want smooth tones, and I think it has to do with the fact that I want the image to feel real, like you're looking at something real, even though I know you're not. It's two-dimensional, it's smaller than the real subject I'm photographing, all those characteristics I understand perfectly well. But somehow, when you add film grain to an image, it just gets an artificial feel that I've never enjoyed. Some photographers don't mind it at all. I mean, 35mm photographers in particular. Oh, think of the wonderful work by Sebastio Salgado. Grainy as all get out. He obviously doesn't care. But for my eye, it's like sandpaper. I just don't like it. I brought that mentality with me into the digital age. And when I first started learning about digital photography, one of the things you learn very quickly about is ISO and noise. Now, of course, we used to call ISO ASA, and back in the film days, I would always choose the lowest possible ASA number film so that I could have the smoothest tones with the least grain. And so I did that with my digital photography, too. I shot at ISO 100 or ISO 50 if it was available on a camera, and no more than ISO 200 because I had that fear of introducing noise. And I sort of didn't really care all that much the first few cameras that I owned in the digital age because they all had some noise. There was nothing you could do about it. Plus the fact that they were kind of experimental things for me. I didn't really consider them my official camera. I was still using my view camera in those days. But eventually there came a point where I had to choose a camera format that I was going to sink my teeth into. And of course, there were four obvious choices. Large format digital cameras, which I couldn't afford. 35mm format, that is so-called full frame digital cameras, Nikon, Canon, Sony, etc. They were very appealing. Micro Four Thirds and the smaller sensors, the 1-inch sensors and those kinds of things. All the way down to iPhones and their tiny, tiny sensors. So I gave it a lot of thought, and for a whole series of reasons, primarily driven by size, portability, the size of lenses, etc., I ended up zeroing in on Micro Four Thirds as the most appealing format that I wanted to invest in and stick with in the future. Besides, by that point, I had decided that I wasn't that interested in making really large prints. That was never much of a concern my entire life in photography prior to digital. So I was very comfortable with book-size prints, which Micro Four Thirds handles beautifully, except for the damn noise. And because I had this innate fear of the noise generated by high ISO settings, I avoided them like the plague. And once in a trip to China, I was having a conversation over dinner about this with another photographer who's way smarter about this stuff than I am. And he said, you know, with your digital camera, you can easily go up to ISO 800, and as long as there's decent light, you'll never see any noise at all. So the next day when we were out photographing, I tried it, and he was right. And suddenly I started wondering why I was shooting at the base ISO all the time. And of course, the answer to that is it gives you the maximum dynamic range and a few other benefits. But if I needed to go to ISO 800, I easily could, and I felt confident that those pictures would be just lovely. But I never used anything higher than ISO 800 because of the fear of noise. I feel like I need to have some music of this. Dun, dun, dun. And that fear of noise drove my decisions about how I use my camera for years. Well, now I look back on that and I think, how quaint, how sort of silly, now that we live in the age of AI noise reduction, where I can shoot my camera as high as 12,800 and get a very usable image after I do denoise in Lightroom or Topaz or Photoshop. The software takes care of the noise with such expertise now that it's mind-boggling. And so I don't have any fear of noise ever now. And I routinely use ISOs up to 6400, and if I really need to, 12,800 in my Micro Four Thirds camera, and I have no noise in my images or my prints, particularly at the sizes I make, say from 13 by 19 down, there's no noise whatsoever. And in a strange way, I look back now and realize how silly of me to assume that there would never be a software solution to a problem that was universal, like noise. And of course, the software people are way smarter than us consumers are, and they figured out how to eliminate noise without having to change the hardware all that radically, but rather by applying software techniques that eliminate the noise. So now, who cares what the ISO is? I look back on all those early images and think, gosh, I wish I had known this. I wish I had been able to predict this, because I would have shot at much higher ISOs for the first 10 years or 15 years I was involved in digital photography if I had known this was coming. But I didn't. I wasn't that smart. And so I let my fear of high ISO noise rule how I used the camera. There's one other tiny issue about this that I think is really important. I'm sometimes asked by people, do I ever delete images from my Lightroom catalog because they're not usable? Well, think of all those images that were shot at high ISOs on emergency situations way back when, that I thought, well, the image is more important than whatever noise is going to appear, so I'll go ahead and shoot it. And they came out just as noisy as you would predict, because I didn't have an ability to get rid of the noise without sacrificing sharpness and detail, which now I can do with the click of a button. So that's another reason not to ever delete images from your asset base, is because you never know when whatever problems those images have might be solvable by future software developments. Thank goodness with every problem there's an opportunity to learn, and with patience, solutions often come when we least expect them. And now, looking back on it, I'm so glad I made the decisions that I made about Micro Four Thirds, about keeping all those files. And now, I can't imagine a single reason why I would want to have a larger sensor and bigger lenses and all of that in light of the actual pictures I'm getting thanks to software development.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.